verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. I'm going to stop there for a moment. So, by Adam's sin, death came upon all mankind. And there is no one that will ever escape. We're all coming to death. Even though you might think about Elijah, or you might think about Enoch, you know, there was a change in their life, whether you could see that as a natural death or a spiritual death. There was a death, there was a place in their life, even Enoch that walked with God, and Elijah was carried up in the chariot of fire. There was a change. You know, both of those men went from this world into another world. For the majority of mankind, we're going to go through death. We're going to go through a death in this world, and we're going to end up in a grave if the Lord didn't come first. So listen to this word. So death passed upon all men, because for all have sinned. Now we might say, well, sin was not imputed, and Paul is going to say that. But he also says this, though sin was not imputed where there was no law, I believe the best I can tell, about 2,513 years from Adam to Moses. Was sin still true? Was death still true?
Sure.
Did they die for 2,513 years? And he says this. He says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So I believe we could look at two things there. Some folks would say, well, the only people that have not sinned would be an infant, that have not sinned against knowledge, not sinned. But I believe we could say this, that the Gentile, according to what Paul says in Romans chapter 2, that they sinned without the law, but their conscience was a law unto them.
Right.
So has there been anyone outside of the Lord Jesus, Enoch, Elijah, who has escaped the grave, the death? And you know, we're talking about those that are without a Savior. We're talking about an eternal death. We're not just talking about man is going to die. And the wages of sin is death. But Paul says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude, over a conscience transgression, over a known will and law of God. I believe there's people maybe that didn't know the law of God. I believe there's people in our world today that have never read the Bible. I believe there's people in our world today that have never heard the gospel. Are those people going to die and go to hell? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. For me, for you, is there a greater condemnation? By the word of God, there is. So there's the death that is brought by Adam. But he goes on to say, verse number 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God And the gift by grace is which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Now I said two deaths. Verse 10 will clarify what I'm saying. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So Adam by sin brought death on all of mankind. Jesus Christ by his death bought life. He brought life unto mankind. Though man was dead, through the death of Jesus Christ, you and I can be brought into the family of God. So as he says this, as by one that sin, but the offense, so is also the free gift. Through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. So Adam brought death upon all of mankind. But through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of mankind that was dead, that come to faith in the Lord Jesus, though he be one, can bring life to all those that believe. He's going to say that even as sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Even as death become more pronounced, or death became bringing enlightening unto us through the law, the offense did abound. Thank God the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and life through grace and through the death of the Son of God, through him, of even grace abounded more so over the law. So as he says in verse 16, not as it was by one that sinneth, so is the gift. For judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So Adam, by one sin, brought death on the whole world. Mm-hmm. Now, how many sins do you think that Jesus Christ paid for in his death? Could you count your sins? Could you count your sins over the last 3 days? I doubt we could count them today, honestly. I doubt we could do that. But know this, that through the death of the Son of God, Adam, one man, brought a multitude of death upon the whole world. But Jesus, by his death, brought a satisfaction, a propitiation, a covering, a mercy seat over the sin of every believer that will ever come to faith in Christ. All of those sins have been covered by one death.
Amen.
Thank God. Here is two deaths brought by two men. One, Adam, brought death upon all of mankind. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Adam man, the second Adam, that man brought life unto a whole world that was under the condemnation and under the curse and under the reign of death brought by Adam. So there is two different deaths. One that brought eternal death and one that brought eternal life. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So by one man's disobedience, not many, we were all. We were all made sinners by one man's disobedience. And you know, I believe you can get it down to this. Even the infant. Even the infant born in sin, conceived in iniquity, or vice versa, I may have that twisted, but what they come forth from the womb as sinners. How did that happen? By the sin of Adam, he brought death and brought sin upon all of mankind. Whether you want to look at it as an infant who didn't have the law of God, or man who didn't have the law of God, or you want to look at it as man who doesn't have the explicit command of God, every man is going to be guilty of sin, and therefore the punishment for sin is death. But thank God, through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have life. Verse 20, where the law entered, the law came in to do what? The law came in that the offense might abound, that the law might show me how dirty, right, how filthy, right, how vile, how wicked, how ungodly that I really am. The law came to explode and expound and to show and to bring a bright light upon my sin. But where sin did more abound, thank God the grace through the Lord Jesus Christ did exceedingly and more abundantly abound over my sin.
Amen. Thank God.
There is no limitation to the grace of God to cover sin.
Uh-huh.
What Jesus paid on Calvary is a full payment,
yes,
for all of my sin. And I'd like for you to just entertain this thought. You will never, ever, ever pay for one.
No.
If you go to heaven, you'll never pay for one.
Not one.
And if you die and go to hell, you will never pay for one.
Uh-uh.
Ponder on that.
No.
If He didn't pay for all of my sin, I have no hope.
No hope.
Thank God He paid it all.
Amen.
When He said it is finished on Calvary, I tell you that I am, through that offering of my high priest, I am saved to the uttermost.
Amen.
He ever liveth to make intercession for me.
Amen.
For us.
Yeah.
And I say this, the same one that died, and those that He died for, is the same one that rose and is making intercession for.
Amen.
Don't tell me that one man died and another man is making intercession. It's the same one that died and He died for and is making intercession for the same group of people.
Amen. That's right.
That's rotten. Rotten to say that Jesus died for a group and He's making intercession for another group. No, He is our high priest. I died and made an offering as the high priest with Aaron. He made an offering for Israel and He interceded for Israel.
Yeah.
So our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God. So let's think about two worlds for a minute. Go with me to Luke chapter number 24, I believe it is. So we're thinking about two deaths, or death of two men. Look in Luke chapter number 20. Chapter 20. And in the context, the Sadducees have come to Him. They don't believe in a resurrection. They've give this little scenario. A man's died and he left a wife, and his next brother married her. He died, and you go on through. There was seven brethren, had one woman.
Mm-hmm.
In the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? You don't know the scriptures, what He says.
Right.
Verse 34. I'm not going to deal with that. I just want to think about two worlds. The children of this world, verse 34, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. What world is that? And the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of a resurrection. So we're going to see two resurrections as well. But do you see that there's two worlds? There's the world that we live in now,
right,
and there is the world to come.
Uh-huh.
There is a world where there's marriage, And there's giving in marriage. And there's a world where we're like the angels. There's the world now, and there's a world that you must be worthy to inherit. By the word of God, it says this, of the children of this world, the children of this age, the children that are earthly, the children that are immortal, the children that are... You know what my life is in this world? It's temporary.
Yes, it is.
I'm immortal. I'm liable to die at any moment. And I'm living in an earthy world.
Right.
But there's another world. There's another world. Are we prepared for the other world? By the word of God, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. But they, listen to these next two words, they that shall be accounted worthy, weighing up, valued equivalent, to deem entirely deserving. How in the world can a man be entirely deserving of another world? How could I be entirely weighing up and balanced with the law of God? I believe that's what's on the other side of the scale. I believe the law of God's on one end of the scale, and over here I am on the other. If you want to see a balance beam, you want to see a seesaw, there's the law of God on one side, and here I am on the other. You know the only equalizer there is? I think it's the mercy seat. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a propitiation of the Lamb of God. And the only thing that will make me worthy of another world is the Lord Jesus. And the only thing that's going to get me delivered from death that Adam brought is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. How the only thing that's going to bring me out of this world and make me worthy, accounted worthy of it. Who's going to do the accounting? Who's going to run the books? You ever thought about that? See, we're living in a world that man thinks he's going to run the books. We're living in a world that man is going to justify himself. But I tell you this, friend, God's going to run the books. God's going to check the bottom of the page. God's going to check the debits and the credits. And let me tell you this, if there's no Jesus on the side with you, I don't care if your light is a feather and sinned only one time in all of your life, you're going to be found coming up wanting. You're going to weigh up wide. You're never going to measure up to being accountable, worthy to enter into that world. There's another world after this. People believe it. People believe in their mind, they believe there's another world. But they don't believe in what it takes to get there. They believe in that other world that God's created. But that means of getting there, they don't find that necessary. I'm telling you, you're going to die. And if you die without Jesus, you'll lift your eyes in hell.
Yeah.
If you die without the balancing of the Lord Jesus on the side of the scale with you, you're going to be guilty of the law.
Yes.
Preacher, I never heard the law. You got a conscience, don't you? That'll be plenty enough. That'll be plenty enough. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. And the resurrection. You know there's a resurrection in that world. There's a resurrection. I'm gonna go over. I'll be back here in just a minute. But I'm going to go over to John chapter 5. And listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says in John chapter number 5. And they shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's two resurrections, isn't there? There's a resurrection to life eternal, and there's a resurrection unto damnation eternal. Eternal. There's two resurrections. So there's a death by sin brought on by Adam. And there is a means of escape by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a world that we're living in now, and there's a world to come. And in that world to come, there's a resurrection. Between now and, friend, however I could wrap my little pea brain around it, between now and stepping out into eternity, there's going to be a resurrection. And there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. There's going to be a resurrection unto life, and there's going to be a resurrection unto damnation. There's going to be a resurrection unto justification, and there's going to be a resurrection unto damnation. They that be accounted worthy to obtain that world, to obtain, oh yeah, to obtain that world, to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. So let's think about the resurrection for a minute. In John chapter 5, I believe he's talking about two resurrections in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse number 24, Jesus is speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on me, on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So here's people that are dead. So they're going to hear and live. Would you call that a resurrection?
Sure.
If they were dead, and they heard the word of God, and they live, would you call that a resurrection?
Amen.
I would.
Yeah.
I would call that a resurrection. Let's go down just a little farther in the on the page. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves, are these people dead? These people are dead, aren't they? All these people shall hear his voice. So let's think on that another time now. Verse number 25. I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. So the Lord's on the scene. He's preaching the gospel.
Right.
He's preaching repentance. Mm-hmm. He's preaching that my life be changed. And they that hear the voice of the Son of God shall believe. They're dead. They're dead right now. And the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. How are you going to hear? I tell you, it's going to take a work of God. God's going to have to do a work in the heart.
Amen.
And you're going to have an ear to hear.
Amen.
I tell you what I read. I do read that they stopped up their ears. Yeah. I do read that they closed their eyes. I do read that people stopped their ears and closed their eyes, a friend, lest they be converted and he changed them. So there's two resurrections. One is spiritual, and one is natural. One was an inward resurrection, as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again.
Yeah.
Shall I enter my mother? No, no. No, you're talking about flesh, Nicodemus. I'm not talking about flesh. If we believe there's another world after this, what's going to that world? When they plant you in the graveyard, that's not going to that world, is it? No, if we believe when we die, and Paul said to be absent from the body was to be present with the world, to be present with the Lord, there must be a spiritual resurrection. Now, are we all dead in trespasses and sins? By the word of God, we're all dead in trespasses and sin.
Yes.
So every man needs a spiritual resurrection.
Amen.
We need to hear the word of God, not with just the natural ear. I need to hear it past the ear on the side of my head and hear it down in my heart and hear a word of God that can transform me, a word of God that can resurrect me, a word of God that can change me, and I can be born again by this word of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit. I can have a first resurrection.
Amen.
There's two resurrections.
Now, according to what I'm reading, verse number 25, everybody's not going to hear. Verse number 28, everybody's going to hear. Are you going to hear what God says to your inward man? When God told Nicodemus, you must be born again, Jesus said that to him. Not of the flesh, no, Nicodemus, of the Spirit. And you know, they're always, I believe this, I believe they're always going to be separated. There's going to be a separation of the spiritual man and the fleshly man. There's a war going on. If you're saved, there's a war going on between the spiritual man and the fleshly man. But Nicodemus was saying, Lord, shall I enter again? No. No, you're not going back to your mother's womb. That's flesh. I'm not talking about a birth of the flesh. I'm talking about, Nicodemus, that you're dead in trespasses and sin. You need a spiritual resurrection.
Yes.
There's death passed down from Adam. There's life through the death of the Lord Jesus. There's two worlds. The world that we live in now and the world to come. And everybody is going to hear the voice of God one day. Everybody is going to hear the trump of God, and the dead are going to be raised. And friend, not only the saved are going to be raised and have a bodily resurrection, the lost is going to be saved, be raised and have a resurrection. There's going to be a resurrection unto life eternal and a resurrection unto the lake of fire. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. There's going to be a resurrection, friend, of all of humanity that has ever lived. There is coming a day that God is going to shout from heaven and the dead are going to rise. Are we prepared for that? One more time, I'd like to read this. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. There's no question about that. If you hear, you're going to live. Now, he's not talking about hearing with my natural ear. I believe he's talking about this, hearing and understanding the condition I'm in on the inside. He's talking about hearing with understanding. He's not talking about I hear a noise and I can't tell what they're playing. It's just a big noise and I hear guitars and I hear trombones and I hear the trumpet and I hear the clarinet and I hear drums and I hear the bass and it's just a big noise. No, I tell you, he's talking about hearing with understanding of my condition. But there is coming the voice.
Yes.
The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves, here's dead bodies. I tell you what, we got up in verse number 25, we got dead spirits in bodies.
Right.
In verse number 28, we got dead bodies in graves.
Yes.
So let's think about that. There's two resurrections in John chapter 5. Let's look in Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, he says this, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. That's 20 and 5. Now, could we talk on that all night? Maybe we could. But I believe that we can get some great clarity in verse number 6 and verse number 14. Verse number 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. If there is no part in a first resurrection, everybody is going to die and go to hell that does not have part in a first resurrection. That first resurrection must be a spiritual resurrection.
Amen.
Out of being brought out from under sin, out from under the control of the devil, out from the world, and being brought in and being made a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's what it is.
If the second death is the lake of fire, and those that have part in the first resurrection are going to escape that, then if I escape hell, do I not have to be born again? Do I not have to be saved?
Amen.
So the first resurrection must be a resurrection of salvation. You know, we could argue all night about chapter 20. I'm not interested in doing that. I want you to see that there's two resurrections. There's a first resurrection that if you've had part in that, you shall escape the lake of fire. But if you have not had part in that, look with me a little farther. Verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. There was no place found for them. And I saw the dead. Now let me ask you this. Are the saved dead? They are not dead. The saved have had a spiritual resurrection. They are not dead. They're not dead. They're alive. They've had part in the first resurrection. They're ruling and reigning with Christ for a season. Listen to this word. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. You know, this is the only two options you've got. Works or grace? Works or grace? Grace that abounded over my sin. Grace when the law came and exploded and exposed me even more of what a sinner I was. Grace over abounded and was much more abounding than my sin. Thank God it's either that or works. Now the dead, how can they be dead? I'll tell you how they're dead. They have not had part in the first resurrection. There has been no spiritual resurrection in the life of these people. Listen to the word. I saw the dead. Verse 12. Small and great stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And there were judged every man according to their works. Let me ask you, can you see in verse 13 a resurrection? Can you see a resurrection in verse 13? And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there's two resurrections. I believe we can expound on it just a little more in Ephesians chapter 2. And you who were dead, he hath quickened. And you, Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened. You might say, well, preacher, that was put in by the translator. Okay, let's go to verse 4. But God, who is rich For his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Were we dead? You better believe we were dead. You know what happened? Thank God I was dead in my trespasses and sin. I was following the world. I was under the control of the devil. I was following what everybody else followed. But God quickened me and brought me to life.
Amen.
I had part in a first resurrection. I'm not going to hell because of being brought to life through the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, being quickened and being changed and made a new creature. So, death, worlds, resurrection. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. One opportunity. Verse 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We then as workers together with him. So, people accuse you of it's all God and there's nothing for man to do. You know what these people are doing? They're working with God.
Right.
God's working through them. Preacher, I don't believe that. I don't think that's the way it is. Read with me in Acts chapter number 15 and verse number 4. Acts number 15 and verse number 4, Paul and Barnabas has come back and they've been brought down to Jerusalem. And Acts chapter 15 and verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. So is it a work of God? It is. Is there something for man to do? It is. I say this, that Jesus even preached the gospel that they could be hear it. How that John preached repentance that they could hear it. How that I was saved under the preaching of the gospel. If you're saved, it was under the preaching of the gospel. It was God working with them.
Yes.
One opportunity. We then as workers together with him. Who is with him? Let's go back one verse. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then as workers together with him beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. How many opportunities have we got? We got today. That's all you got. You've got one opportunity. You've got the opportunity of today when God is helping you. You've got the opportunity of today when God is succoring you. You've got the opportunity to be saved today when God is working in you. When we'll be willing. We'll be willing in the day of His power. We'll be willing in the day that God works in our heart. We'll be willing, our friend, in the day that God succors us and works with us and helps us and favors us. And friend, when you are well favored by God, now.
Yeah.
Now. You say, well, I can get saved later. By this word of God, now is when you can get saved. I have heard thee in a time accepted. That means favorable time. God's favorable time. I tell you what it is. Listen to these words. And the angel come unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. He said that to Mary, didn't he? You know what he said? Mary, you're graced by God. You're graced by God. I tell you, friend, if the grace of God would come to your heart and the grace of God would reveal unto you through the law your sin, if the grace of God would reveal unto you that Jesus died and, friend, through His sacrifice and His resurrection, all of your sins could be under the blood and you could be forgiven. And when will that be? Friend, it'll be now. It'll be now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not yesterday. Now. Now, that's what the book says. The book says in this verse number 2, for he saith, I have heard thee. When's God going to hear us? Let me tell you this, friend, that Job was a man who eschewed evil, a man who feared God, and a man who would love to have had an audience with God, and he could not find him. You tell me that you're a lost person and you're going to reject the grace of God when he comes by and says, now? Now is your only opportunity. The rich man said, I'll tear down my barns. I'll be bigger barns. And I'll say to my soul, soul, take your rest. And God said, thou fool. What a fool. That God would come by and succor. God would come by and grace us. That God would come by and favor us. And we say, not now. You know what Pharaoh said? When do you want me to get rid of the frogs, Pharaoh? Moses says, when do you want me to get rid of the frogs, Pharaoh? Tomorrow. My God, another night? Another night of the frogs tomorrow. Get rid of them tomorrow. What if tomorrow never comes? The fool tomorrow never came. Now. There's going to be a spiritual death and a natural death. There's the first Adam who brought sin and death to the world. There's the second Adam through death brought life to the world. There's a world that we're living in today and there's a world to come. There's a resurrection that is spiritual and there is a resurrection that is bodily. And if you don't have part in the first resurrection, you shall have part in the lake of fire. You will lift your eyes in hell, and now is the only time that you can get saved. Anything on your